such an embarrassment when he sent the police out there the last time, put the cuffs on one guy who was passing out peanut butter sandwiches. It was such an embarrassment on TV and in the press. He's back down.
Wow, what a criminal activity.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of us, we had this idea maybe of, like, go feeding the poor, and then afterwards, like, marching into the police station and, like, turning ourselves in, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we need to repent, so we're turning ourselves in.
So is there a Food Not Bombs in your area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
are
sure.
Are they supportive, or?
I'll tell you, so they're sort of, I mean, everybody's supportive. Are they particularly supportive?
I mean, do they come out and feed with you, or?
Yeah, they come out, feed with us. They came. We had our own. The city ran a Dr. King parade yesterday,
uh-huh.
And then we had our own.
Huh.
We had a poor people's march, the kind that you know that you would have seen back in the 60s with Dr. King.
Oh, excellent! So you actually had a real march.
Several hundred activists and several hundred homeless people. We marched. Well, we don't know the area here, but we marched through the place where they want us to be, where they want us to feed the homeless, to the city plaza, where we had a cake and we had a party. We had music and drums and guitars and all kinds of stuff. And of course, it was covered by the press, and we were on TV. I mean, it's every time we do something over here, it makes a lot of noise, and it's really very, very good.
So, what is the population of Baltimore?
700,000.
Oh, wow.
And it's mostly black. It's mostly black. The white flight really killed, it killed the city a little bit. And it's almost like apartheid here. I know the commissioner of police sort of, we've had some conversations, nice conversations, you know, he's not my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any enemies. Nobody's my enemy, not the mayor, not the police commissioner, no one.
Good.
But there are more white, there are, the majority of people living in Baltimore are African-American. The majority of police officers are white.
Uh-huh.
And so that really doesn't make for the best atmosphere.
Right. How about your protesters? Are they mostly white or black?
Mostly white. The homeless are mostly black.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. It's just whatever happens, you know what I'm saying?
Now, you've been feeding outside City Hall for a long time now, right?
Pardon me?
You've been feeding outside of City Hall for quite a while now.
Almost 3 years.
Every week, or?
And there was never any problem until just recently. You see, another thing is Baltimore is trying to get the Olympic Games here.
Uh-huh.
And to have, you know, poor people being fed in front of City Hall while you're trying to sell the town as, like, you know, as being special and precious, it's not good for business.
Are there any particular...
On the other hand... Mm-hmm. There are more abandoned buildings in Baltimore than homeless people.
Wow.
So it would be very, very easy. You know, each person could have like five homes here.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the city just doesn't get it. They just don't get it. And so we're pushing our own law called the Homestead Bill, where, you know, a person could just take over, you know, these abandoned places, and we'll help them fix them up. And we have people living in houses already here that we were given for people. People off the streets. We have a woman and her husband and 8 children living in a house that was abandoned, and now it's been fixed up and rehabilitated. And we give away the houses. There's no mortgages on any of these places. And so basically that's our plan, to get everybody off the street, you know, and give people like a free place to live and, you know, let them get their lives in order.
And you got a coalition of groups doing this?
Oh, God, yeah. It's a huge coalition. I couldn't even give you all the names.
How about other cities? Any support from other cities?
Well, I got a nice letter from the mayor of Phoenix.
Uh-huh. What did you see?
I got a letter from the mayor of Pittsburgh.
And I understand the mayor of Santa Cruz sent you a letter, too.
Oh, yeah. He says you're all a bunch of liars.
What? Really? You have to send us a copy of that.
I did. I sent it to Becky.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Interesting. I haven't seen it yet, I guess.
I saw send you another copy?
No, we got that.
No, I think, yeah, we saw one letter in which he said he kind of praised his own work at the Armory and various other places. And,
right.
And said that we had a very small following. And
yeah, he said that basically, he didn't say it in these words, but basically that I've been brainwashed by you people.
Mm. Well, we are, you know, pretty pervasive and pretty evil, so you would
have... Well, you know, if you're feeding the poor, you must be.
Well, you know how it is. We, it's the first step, feed the poor, and then make a million and go to Mexico.
Well, can I come, please?
Hey, well, you know, you can get in on the ground floor.
You know, I might come out to California, maybe in a couple of months or something.
No, we will definitely have you. We'll get you something criminal to do here.
Santa Cruz is about an hour and a half from San Francisco.
It's about less than an hour.
A little over an hour south of San Francisco.
Yeah, because I got some good friends in Berkeley and then over in San Francisco that I would.
And that was Rabbi Chaim Levin, who actually gives a much more extensive interview, and we're going to be playing that on Sunday, assuming I don't lose the tape between now and then. On Wednesday evening, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women had a three-hour-long session at City Hall, and some of the speakers were concerned about the vulnerability of women under the sleeping ban, and raised other issues, I think, that are important and relevant, particularly to the kind of topics we cover in this show. And by the way, you are still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, in case you've forgotten, 96.3 FM. Commission 2 years ago, at the urging of myself and other people, ruled or passed a resolution that the sleeping ban sections of the Santa Cruz City Camping Ordinance essentially made homeless women unsafe, and requested that those sections be repealed. And 2 weeks later, when we took that to that ardent feminist supervisor, Marty Wormhout, the former mayor, and who knows what other political aspirations she has in the future, she actually shut me down completely. She wouldn't allow the matter to be discussed. She declared she opposed any changes in the sleeping ban, and expressed this kind of arch hostility towards any changes, and then, of course, took no action to deal with any of the shelter crisis that her so-called Winter Shelter Advisory Committee was supposed to be dealing with. And we see a similar practice, even though there has been a huge study done last year, the Homeless Needs Assessment, and that needs assessment has been buried in committee by the supervisors and by Marty Wormhout, the great liberal from Santa Cruz. We have an incoming call. Speaking with Bathrobe's Pierre Robert.
Well, yeah, I agree with Marty for shutting you down completely, because I think you're like overtly obnoxious.
Well, thank
you.
You
just like, I mean, you really aren't solving any situation. I've watched you downtown screaming and yelling when someone gets arrested, and you don't help them at all. You just hinder the problem. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what your point of being. You're a trust fund kid anyhow. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think that you're really solving? Just being a nuisance?
Should I answer that?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for calling in. It's rare that critics call in, and I do appreciate your call. And I think that, you know, you feel strongly about the subject, and that's the reason you're calling in, and I'm glad you are. Two issues. Well, first of all, regarding Marty Wormhout, I think that the responsibility of the city is not to criminalize people who sleep outside when there's no other legal place for them to sleep. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I do agree with it completely, because I think what's happening is that most of the people sleeping outside have it so lucky here in Santa Cruz. You don't even know what it's like other places, mm-hmm. and nobody's helping themselves. They're just taking advantage of the system is what they're doing, mm-hmm. and they're creating the nuisance themselves.
Mm-hmm. So you agree there should be a ban against sleeping?
Absolutely. I think that basically what should be happening is you yourself should be dedicating your energy to opening up another shelter or to finding places for them to sleep instead of walking up and down the mall flapping your jaws like you do. Because you're not helping the situation, and you're passing out literature that's just wasting the environment, wasting paper, but you're bitching about fucking where people should go sleep at. But you're not doing anything. You're the biggest hypocrite that can walk the earth. And you're also taking pictures of people and videotaping them without their permission and showing them over whatever. Who knows who you're working for and who you're a part of? How are you really helping these people? Are you providing a place for them to sleep?
Well, let's go to, I mean, you raised a couple important issues. The second issue you raise is, what am I doing on the mall when I do what I call a cop watch, which is to say when a police officer comes up and begins to harass a poor person for
sitting. He's not harassing. I've watched the police officer. When they're coming up, they're giving the people a ticket for a reason, and that's between them and the police officer, not you.
Well,
you're
know.
Coming along Member making a huge nuisance of the matter when it doesn't even need to be made.
Well, so do you agree that a person who is sitting...
But that's not your business, is it?
Well, sure. I'm a member
no,
of the community, just
business,
like it's your
though.
Business to express your opinion as you're doing
but
right
I'm
now.
But I'm calling you right now. I'm not calling a police officer. I'm not butting into the affairs of someone who could actually have the ticket dismissed and handle things on their own matter,
you know,
and their own accord. But you come along and make it a big issue when it shouldn't even be an issue.
Well,
you
no,
sit there. I've watched you before, and you yell... And you don't help the matter, really.
Well, actually,
at all.
What I do is I announce to the public that the police are spending public money
going
after people. They're using public money going after people, let's say, for sitting down on the sidewalk.
Because there's rules to where these people should be sitting. And they're sitting there
day
long.
You know, the police made rules about the Jews in Germany in the 30s. Do you think we should have just sort of let them do that? Would that have been a good idea?
That was the police who made those rules.
No,
that
but
was
they
a
were
a political party. That was a totally different situation.
Right. Well, the fact of the matter is.
You're trying to make it like it is the Nazis.
Wait a minute.
You're a Nazi yourself.
Wait a minute. The police enforced those rules. The police were the people that went and arrested those people.
It was the government that went and arrested. It was the Nazis that went and arrested.
Hey, the
and
police
you're
force.
Not helping the matter
the police
either.
Force
you're like
did what
the
they
Nazis
were told.
Themselves.
Wait a minute. No, caller, I think you're mistaken. The police force followed what the Nazis told them to do.
Are we really on the topic of the Nazis? We're on the topic of
well,
you.
Well, some people...
Who tries to contradict everybody and be
caller,
the world's biggest hypocrite.
Some people consider that laws that make it criminal to ask for a dime after dark is kind of repressive, similar to the kind of legislation that Nazis began with in the 30s. There really are people who
you're
feel
that
way.
You're trying to compare that, but it's not even a comparison, really. It
well,
really is.
There are some who believe it is.
You just want some soapbox to stand on because you don't have a life to get it together for yourself. You know, what do? You go around thinking that you're really a supporter and a provider for people's rights when you're totally not.
Well,
you're just trying to, like, you have nothing better to do. Why don't you go to San Francisco and help the homeless people there who truly need help?
Well, tell me, are you concerned about homeless people here?
Yeah, it, you know what? It's not really an issue, though. That's the thing.
So there isn't really a homeless problem
where,
in Santa Cruz? Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, there is a homeless problem
okay.
in Santa Cruz, but that issue needs to be dealt with the high cost of rent and finding shelters for these people is what it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't your energy being directed towards that instead of this renegade that you have against the police?
Well, I think that it's not that I'm against the police. I think I'm against
you're not.
No, I'm against misuse by the police.
Right,
I don't think
they're doing their
I think that people should have basic civil rights, and when those civil rights are ignored, and it sounds like you're suggesting we all ignore what the police do, that everything they do is okay? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're doing their job.
So whatever they're doing, whenever you see a police officer on the street, what they're doing is their job. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And you don't want to interfere because they're in blue, they have guns, and they know what's
Absolutely.
Right. Is that what you're saying?
No, not,
well, what
not
are you
at
saying?
All. I'm not, because mm-hmm. I'm not out on a renegade trip to find out who's right and who's wrong.
Wait a minute. I see
you're
police harassing poor people on the street, and I don't like it, so I raise the issue to people walking by.
But
what's wrong with that?
They weren't harassing.
Why
you don't
we talking?
Know that. You're not there.
Hey.
You're there to harass.
No.
You are the harasser.
Hey, I see police telling a person sitting down
you
off
see
to
what
the
you
side.
Want to see.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you
That's
what.
The, it.
Well, it sounds like you may have that problem as well. I mean, we all see what we see, and we comment on it.
But
you know,
personally,
yeah.
I've observed you,
uh-huh.
and I've personally watched you do this.
Well, why don't we talk about... Well, the problem we're having now is we have 6 minutes...
You know, most homeless people don't even like you.
Caller, we have 6 minutes left in the show, and I want to suggest
good.
You...
Maybe you should lose this show.
Well, thank you, caller.
Well, at last, an impassioned caller. I want to thank you, caller, for calling in, and I think that... you obviously feel very strongly about these issues. The problem is...
He doesn't care about the issues, Robert.
Well, that's Uncle Dennis, caller. Don't be dismayed or discouraged. This is just another one of these loony radicals from Free Radio Santa Cruz that should really lose their shows. I agree. I think it is important for each of us to examine what goes on around us, and if the police are out of line, if they're enforcing laws that are clearly discriminatory against poor people, and that's what laws against sitting, laws against displaying your artwork, laws against sleeping, all these things discriminate against poor people, and I'm afraid the caller doesn't understand that. Maybe she's never been poor, maybe she doesn't recognize that. I would encourage her to call back to at another time when I actually have the time to talk to her. I really only have 5 minutes left in the show, or I would continue the conversation and invite others to join it. We have another call, but again, this has got to be a brief one.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Did she fuck you up or what right now?
I'm all fucked up, man. What can I do?
Aw.
Yeah.
Poor Robert.
Hey, you know, you gotta swing with the punches. So what can I do for you, caller?
I just wanted to give you a little support, man.
Well, thank you. I mean,
I don't always listen to your show, but I'm glad that you have a show myself.
Well, thank you.
I think everyone should have a show, though.
Yeah, man.
I mean, not everyone, but I think that, you know, and I think that you try to deal with some issues. I have heard that your conduct can be quite questionable, but I believe that your intentions are true.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your appreciation.
And I just wanted to call you in and give you a little support, brother.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, all the support is much appreciated. Of course, the people on the street could even use more support than I am. I'm not on the street, and a lot of folks out there are, and they have to face the kinds of hostility and bigotry because, frankly, that's what it is. That's what that last caller, the caller before the last caller, was putting out there. A lot of misinformation about the fact she somehow thinks that homeless people are in a position where they've chosen that position. They're a bunch of lazy bums. And the police are simply doing a good job and doing what they have to do and so forth and so on, and that there's no discrimination at all involved here. And that's, I think, both a mistaken impression and a form of prejudice. But it's something we will have to talk about another time, because it is time for me to pack up my sorry self and hit the road here. For those who want to discuss this issue at between shows, the number to call is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Hate callers will, you know, are also welcome to present their views. You know, don't take up all our time, but hey, be happy to talk to you about these issues. There's also a meeting of HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, tomorrow at the Homeless Services Center at 2:30 in the afternoon, where all the homeless people who hate me can gather around as well, and there'll probably be numerous folks with different opinions. Again, we're going to be talking about civil rights issues and how folks are being treated. So tune in again at 11 o'clock on Sunday when I will be back, and you can...
Unfortunately.
Hey, thank you. Listen, that's enough from you, buddy. The next talk show host, oh, he hates to be called that, is here removing all my discs and tapes, as he has a want to do, a few minutes early. I won't comment on that, but...
Were you going to play Billy Joel again?
Certainly not, man. Billy Joel is the beginning of the show. So let's go out on a little bit of the fine Tom Paxton. And thanks for being with us. Come back on Sunday.
The night air is heavy, no cool breezes blow. The sounds of the voices are worried and low. Desperately wondering and desperate to know about Goodman and Schwerner and Cheney. Calm desperation and flickering hope. Reality grapples like a hand on the throat. For you live in the shadow of 10 feet a row, if you're Goodman and Schwerner and Cheney. The Pearl River was dragged and two bodies were found, but it was a blind alley for both men were brown. So they all shrugged their shoulders and the search it went on for Goodman and Schwerner and Cheney. Pull out the dead bodies from the ooze of the dam. Take the bodies to Jackson all according to plan. With the one broken body do the best that you can. It's the body of a young James Cheney. The nation was outraged and shocked through and through. Call J. Edgar Hoover, he'll know what to do. For they've murdered two white men and a colored boy too, Goodman and Schwerner and Cheney. James Cheney, your body exploded in pain, and the beating they gave you is pounding my brain. And they murdered much more with their dark bloody chains, and the body of pity lies bleeding. The pot-bellied copper shook hands all around and joked with the rednecks who came into town. And they swore that the murderer soon would be found. And they laughed as they spat their tobacco.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM, where we allow people like Bathrobes Pierre to be on the air.
Bathrobes Pierre, not Bathrobes Spear, sir. Get that straight.
Bathrobes Spewer.
There you go. Bathrobes Spewer, you.
Yeah, well, like Mr. Robert said, he'll be back on Sunday, and he might even get in the station if he gets past the security guard. To bring you another exciting morning of homeless issues and activism. Or is that about it, Robert?
Hey, suits me, man. That would be a good idea.
And we move the mic around. That's about enough. You can take your tape out of there now. What are you trying to do? Get a voice print or something?
Golden words. For
golden words. Get your damn tape out of there.
All right, it's about 9 o'clock. We're in front of Borders on the 1st of February. Talking to
Robbie.
Robbie, you said that you had an unusual visit from the police, or perhaps usual.
It was usual, quite. You know, I've been told for a long time how police officers harass people for sleeping in their vehicles. Well, I have a Chinook, and I park it on May Street. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I park it.
Forget that, folks.
Forget that. I park it somewhere in town, and yeah, the police came by.